This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Resource Centre. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. The Competition Standards and Liberalisation, or CSL, Strategic Reform Initiative seeks to develop an efficient and competitive business environment and culture that support Malaysia's goal of becoming a high-income nation by 2020. In the effort to improve the quality of Malaysian products and services, Department of Standards Malaysia has also initiated the National Standards Compliance Programme, NSCP, in collaboration with SME Corp Malaysia. This was last year. It's a one-stop centre and it's been set up to promote awareness and utilization standards, especially amongst this group, the SMEs. So I'm here today together with Fadila Barin, Director General of Standards Malaysia. Very good afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Maybe we can start off a little bit about explaining what standards are and the role of the Department of Standards Malaysia.
Hi, Frida. Thank you for inviting me to this program. I feel very privileged to be having this slot to be talking to, can I say, the second generation?
Okay.
All right. Okay, who are we and what do we do? The Department of Standards Malaysia, effectively, we are the National Standards and Accreditation Body. We've been established way back in 1996. And effectively, we are a full government entity under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, or in short, we call it is MOSTI. The Standards Malaysia, this is what we are. We have been appointed to spearhead the standards component in the Competition Standards and Liberalisation, as you just mentioned, on about CSL, SRI. And with this empowerment given to us, I believe that there's a lot of activities that we need to be doing more so that whatever activities that we do, especially developing standards, they should be market relevant. And then we must make sure that whatever accreditation services that we are giving are also credible. The bottom line is to enhance our global competitiveness. So this is what we do, actually.
Okay. So the setup of NSCP, the National Standards Compliance Program, last year, what does it do and why, you know, why was it set up?
Okay, this is one big program which we have identified in order for us to jumpstart effectively, or rather we should do... as we notice, Vision 2020 is just like around the corner. All right, and we should, Honourable Prime Minister said, we should do our 100-meter dash now. So in order to do that, I think this program is one program which we have created in such a way that we should enhance the, especially SMEs, if I can use that word, SMEs who are very much into making sure that they must stay competitive, they should be resilient, be able to stand so that when FTAs are opening up the market, all right, the only weapon that they have, that means that they are complying, they are giving quality services, products or standards, for example, right? By the end of the day, this is what the consumer will be demanding.
Right.
And if you are selling some standard products, where are you going to land up? Nowhere.
Nowhere, right.
Nowhere. The foreigners are coming in.
Okay. What, when you're having this conversation with SMEs, what roadblocks are you faced with?
Right. This is a very, very interesting question. I'm going to answer, if I can be very frank, Freda. Okay, number one, I think always has been, it is a challenge for us to have a change of mindset. I believe that many SMEs, when we talk about come and get your products certified, for example, so that your products is of quality, they will say, wow, expensive. I think if we don't invest, Freda, how are we going to be stay competitive? If we invest now, I believe so, within the next few months or a year or so, we are already there. All right. This is where many developed countries are they started off somewhere, right? And we have to start like, supposed to be like yesterday, right? We must have our products certified so that it is of quality. And consumers, they want that by the end of the day, the demand will be very, very great, especially Malaysian consumers, right? They are very educated. They know what they want. So this is one challenge, a change of mindset. That means that if you want your products to be competitive, make sure that our products is of certain standards of quality.
Right.
So that I hope that once this mindset change is happening, we hope that we are able to also bring them on board and to be training them how they should stay competitive.
Right. And I guess for them, when you say the mindset change, is also because, you know, we're doing all right at the moment.
True.
So why should we, right? Is that the kind of roadblock you face as well?
I mean, today it will be different as compared to tomorrow. We must not forget, we need to survive. all right, for the next, at least for the next 3 years, for example. So how are we going to stay competitive? All right, we need to change. So I think change should start with us, all right, and it should start with the mind.
Okay. Now, when you also talk about standards, right, and we talk about Malaysian standards, you know, are these recognized or appreciated in the first place? I think that's also one of the challenges, because when you think of German standards, right, and we all have that image immediately when we think of German standards, do we have enough of that image when we talk about Malaysian standards?
Right, this is a perception. I think with me being here on air, I would like to just share with everybody there out there. I think we have to embrace and to be appreciating what we have, for example, right? Okay, German, if Frida, remember, they started way back, like how many years back?
And World War II, I think.
That's right, right? And then where they are today, I think I marvel what they have. But then again, this is something Malaysia should learn, right? This is how they are. When they produce products, it is always of quality. Why do we get and buy their products even though it is more expensive? Because of the brand, right. The quality. So is Malaysia. So where we are now, we should be jump starting, all right? And we should do what's best. That means that get our products that is of world class, like Germany, for example. In fact, our Malaysian standards are, I would say, more than about 70% of our standards, which is adopted in Malaysia, is actually from international standards, the ISO.
Right.
Even German, they follow the ISO standards. So I think that is the common focal point.
Okay, right now though, is it compulsory or optional? That's
I wish that our SMEs would be looking at, you know, they want to come in and volunteer themselves. So that I would say that tradition is yet to materialize very, very strongly.
Okay.
At the moment, if the regulators say you must comply to food standards, for example, otherwise we won't give you a license, then they will comply.
Right.
But what about products that has got no regulations? For example, like the halal standards.
Right.
There's no regulations. But why do people want to comply to halal standards, for example?
Okay, that's a very interesting thing that you've also, you know, just shown me here about the Malaysian standards on MyGAP, which is the Malaysian Good Agricultural Practice, right? There are a couple of standards here, crop commodities and all that. Now, what does this mean? Seaweed cultivation code of practice and all these sort of things. What does this mean for the person with the standards, and what does it mean on the global to the global marketplace?
Okay, let me start with the rakyat first. I think where we are today, when we take in food, right, I think it must be food of quality and make sure that it is safe. Food security is a big thing now for Malaysia. So in order to able for us to sustain good food, at least for Malaysians for a start, the rakyat, I think whatever that is going to be supplied in terms of agricultural products or our food, our fish, our livestock, if I can use that word, or rather the chicken, they must come from trusted sources, clean sources, right? So this is where this MyGAP, we call it, or Malaysia Good Agriculture Practice comes in. We have developed these standards saying that our farmers and things like that, when you practice whatever farming, make sure that it is according to this standard. This is the way to go. In fact, frankly, Freda, we emulated this from the Europeans. This is how. You know, they are free from the animal, mouth, food, and...
Food,
disease, right? So effectively, so this is what we are trying to do, that we are able to sell. Right? And of course, priority is of the rakyat, making sure that whatever food that we eat is safe. So MyGAP is about that. And naturally, so when you will be certified to this MyGAP, which is based on Malaysian standards, your product will naturally go into the super hypermarket, Tesco, Giant, and whatever.
Okay, so first into Malaysia before we even think about export, that we're getting the same the right standards.
That's right. It is the same standard which is being used by the Europeans, for example. This is big, very, very big in the EU.
Right, and then we'll talk a little bit about, some success stories and also, how, if there are areas that we should focus on. You touched a little bit on halal. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Fadila Bahrain, Director General Standards Malaysia in Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, it's Resource Centre. This is Frida Liu and I'm here together with Fadila Bahrain, Director General of Standards Malaysia. We're talking about standards, the Competition Standards and Liberalisation Strategic Reform Initiative, and under that, the National Standards Compliance Programme, NSCP, where the Department of Standards Malaysia is working in collaboration with SME Corp Malaysia, so that, you know, SMEs will also jump on the bandwagon there. You know, one of the things that you talked about earlier on is, you know, with trying to niche and trying to go into areas. We talked about the MyGAP, Malaysian Standards on Agricultural Practice, mm-hmm. and also halal. You know, how you know, that's one area, I guess, we can't boil the ocean. Yeah, I mean, we want to be good in everything, but if we were to focus on one thing, halal will be one area.
Yes, Frida, I believe that halal is truly Malaysia's niche area and the world, if I can use that word in a very casual manner. The world, effectively, the developed nations, they're all looking at Malaysia because Malaysia produces not only world-class halal standards. Even the JAKIM is very well respected because JAKIM is the only certifying body in the world that is from the government,
right?
So in order for us to support JAKIM's role, Standards Malaysia has developed these halal standards, and this is the first of its kind. Nowhere in the world has anybody developed these standards. There are, in essence, about 11 standards on halal, and the one that is very, very popular, obviously, is going to be the food standards on halal. And JAKIM, if you know that, whatever kind of certification halal that they give is effectively based on our halal standards. Now, this standard effectively is not practically owned by Standards Malaysia. We are like just a platform. So we bring in all the experts together from JAKIM, from the research institutions, from HTC, and also from the regulators. We sit down together and develop these standards. By the end of the day, the standard that is being developed is co-owned by everybody in Malaysia. And when this is established by us, the Department of Standards Malaysia, I think about 70% of our requirements, of JAKIM's requirement effectively, is being met if you want to get halal certification from JAKIM. So this is one big synergy which is happening in Malaysia. And that's why, if you notice, the consumers, for example, when they see JAKIM's halal logo, I mean, the level of...
It's true. You know, I mean, even as a non-Muslim, but you know there's certain standards involved there as well. So, okay, that's one area of niche. You know, what about the thing that we've been playing, the air sector that we've been playing very, you know, over the years, electrical electronics? You know, how is that also another area of that we can focus on?
Yes, in fact, that is our second biggest export for Malaysia, the commodity, electrical electronics. And now, effectively, the area you know, I like the word Freda, you can't boil the whole ocean. I think that's it. So now we are focusing on the LED. And I noticed that the group of companies that have come on board under our project of the ETP, right? There are about 10 companies so far. They are really on board now. They started off from just being like a backyard companies. Now they have developed their own in-house R&D products. And based on our Malaysian standard, they've tested their products, and I think they are almost ready to be selling to the world.
Okay.
Right? And the biggest client, if I can be very frank here, is going to be China, that's big. And the US, right? And Japan and Korea, I think.
Back to China. Wow.
Yes. So I think China is like one-third of the world.
Right.
So there you are.
Okay, so these are some of the things that we can look at focusing on. So in terms of success stories, is it too early to talk about success stories, or do we already have seen great inroads in this place?
Okay, usually success stories happens after we've adopted the standards for maybe about 3 to 5 years, Freda. But today, the success story which I can share with you are companies who have adopted it since the last 10 years.
Right.
A very living example is a top glove.
Okay.
Right. This top glove are our local companies who have developed the gloves for surgical gloves for the hospital use and things like that. They use natural rubber latex. Right. They are supplying and the number one buyer is effectively the US. All right. Because they adhere to the standards.
Right.
So that is the bottom line, as I said.
And they did that probably 10 years ago as a competitive advantage. And then yes. the thing, next time it won't be competitive, it'll be standards. Exactly. It'll be expected. And I think globally people will be expecting standards from wherever they're getting their products from.
True. I mean, that is going to be the ring word, if I can use, right? Quality culture must come in now. Mm. All right? Quality should be in the blood.
Right.
If you want to sell, even if you don't want to be an exporter, if you want to be a jago kampong, if I can use the word, you must also have got that as your weapon. That is the weapon, whether you like it or not. So if you want to talk about today, you're going to survive, but it's going to knock the door maybe by December this year. We're not sure. So I mean, let's start now. Success stories, as I said, will come in naturally. And I hope one day when I come back here, Freda, I hope you invite me again 2 years down the road. I can say that all of you who are listening out there, you can come and will be wanting or rushing to me and saying, I want to share with you my success stories. Right. So this is my hope.
Okay, so how can people get information? I guess they go online to get more information. How are you reaching out to SMEs as well?
Okay, we have got a website, which is, we've got something about the NSCP, as just mentioned, Freda. Mm-hmm. Right, you go to www.standardsmalaysia.gov.my. So that website, there's going to be a link where we're talking about now, which is the standards compliance program. However, if you want it to be faster, you can always email me. Right, I am a very hands-on person, Freda. We cannot be just not walking the talk.
Yeah.
Right. So my email is Fadilah, FADILAH@JSM, which is Jabatan Standard Malaysia, .gov.my. So I believe the readers out there, especially the future generation, right, they are very gung-ho about emails and tweeters and things like that. Please send me an email. I'll be more than happy to help.
All right. Expect the thousands to come in.
Okay. I hope so.
Thanks for being with us. Fadilah Bahrin, Director General of Standards Malaysia. It's a resource center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.